What a great day it is to celebrate you, moms and grandmas and whatever other category you might be in this morning. But we love you and we give you just the honor that is due for what you have done, what God has done through you, really, as we look at this morning. And I saw a quote this week that said, God could not be everywhere, so he created mothers. Well, you might not agree with that theologically, obviously, right? But we understand, at least psychologically, there's sometimes where I'll hear my mother's voice in the back of my head, usually about picking up socks or, I don't know, something, you know, change your underwear, that sort of thing, right? You could never be in an accident with dirty underwear. That'd be the worst case scenario ever. So little things like those just kind of bounce around in our heads sometimes. Maybe your mom had a little saying or several for you. But, boy, we love them. And, of course, God did give them to us and us to them, obviously for his purposes and for his reasons, right? And so moms have played a very unique role as we look at through Scripture. Boy, you look even back into the first Genesis chapter 4 when Eve gives birth, the first mom, right? And it's interesting just to see how that reads in Genesis chapter 4. It says, now Adam knew Eve, his wife. That means they had a sexual relationship, obviously. And she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. Little did Eve know that that's where the country music and language came from, because she said, I done gotten me a man. I said that for Carolyn. She's But we see this concept, this understanding. If you read that text, you understand what Eve is truly saying there. It is that it means, gotten means acquired. And it sounds like that Cain, his name, sounds like the word gotten in Hebrew. And so that's how he is named. And it means, what's interesting in this is that she says, a man with the help of the Lord. Right? So she recognizes, obviously, God's hand in all of it, the conception, the birth, all of it. And she understands, obviously, that she could not recreate an Adam from the dust. Only God did that. And so she understands, wow, I've now produced this human, this male, this man-child. And it's obviously happened by God's hand and through his will and through his hand. So she's the first out of the gate and fully recognizes God's presence and power in that and even purpose. We see other moms in Scripture, Sarah in Genesis 11. You remember the story of Abraham and Sarah. She wants this child for years and years and believes that she is past due, past the ability. And of course, surprise, Isaac. Right? I don't know if you were a surprise baby, but that's okay. We still love you and we still wanted you, right? But Isaac comes along. Rebecca, we see in Genesis 25. Remember her story. She had twins, and the Bible even says they were doing battle inside of her womb. Could you imagine that going on inside of you? We could go on and on with Leah and Rachel, and Jochebed, who's Moses' mom, and mother of Samson. We don't really truly know her name. Naomi, Hannah, Elizabeth, and then, of course, Mary, right? All of these moms, so many great examples. But guess what? None of them were perfect. How many perfect moms do we have up in here today? I was just curious. One? Two? Okay. The rest of you, shame on you. You should have followed whatever they did. But listen, we have a variety of them in the Scriptures and a variety that of moms that God used, and they were not perfect people, yet God used them. He uses them, used them in powerful ways to fulfill his perfect plan, yes? I would hope that all of these moms, all just like moms today, would understand this one concept, this one truth about children, and that is that they are a blessing, whether you believe it or not. But they are also on loan. And they are on loan from God, yes? We know that we are to care for them, we as in fathers and mothers, to train them, pray for them. But perhaps the hardest part of it all is understanding that this child is dedicated and is a gift from the Lord, and knowing that they are ultimately His. They are His from the moment of conception. They are His while they are in the womb. Whether the child comes to full birth, whether the child is miscarried, aborted, born with defects, or anything in between, that life belongs to God. Amen? The amazing thought is that He entrusts that child to you, Mom. Entrust it to you. He loans that life to you to care for and to feed, obviously, to change, all of these things, but probably most importantly is to teach. I don't care how old your child is or children, and now maybe you got grandbabies or great grandbabies, you're still teaching. You are to teach them, and you teach them a lot of things, believe it or not. Some by hearing and some by watching. Mostly by watching. But we teach them, or you teach them, a lot of different things. Obviously, it starts with just some of the basic functions of life. How to eat, and talk, and potty, and all that stuff, right? You're teaching them constantly alphabet and numbers and how to clean up and all of these things. You're constantly teaching them. And then incorporated in that is you're teaching them morals and manners. You're teaching them how to treat each other and treat other people, how to treat you. The rights and the wrongs of life, all the pleases and the thank yous, all of it, right, comes as you continually try to teach this child as it grows. And then, of course, as they get a little older, you start to impart them into them some life skills, like how to do their own laundry. I hope. I still know of people, you know, kind of mature enough that they should be doing their own laundry, and Mama's still doing it for them. I just never understand how they got that free ticket. I always wanted one. But the laundry, maybe they're teaching them how to cook so they don't try and survive off of ramen for the rest of their life or something. Right? They start imparting all of these life skills. They're prepping them to get out into life, to get out into the world. I saw a documentary once about eagles. Or maybe I've told you this before, about mama eagles. When the eaglets start to grow and get ready, and they're reluctant to leave the nest, what the mama starts doing is peeling off all the comfy parts of the nest, and it starts to get real thorny and pokey, and finally the eaglet takes off. It's like, I'm out of here. This isn't comfortable for me. And I've given some moms that wisdom before. If your little eaglet is home and they're comfy and cozy on your couch, take away the couch. Or do something, right? Make the nest a little bit more uncomfortable, and then they'll decide on their own it's time to fly out of here. Not to say that all of this is just on mom alone, obviously, but you know what, moms, it's your day, so I got to pick on you. But out of all of this, Mom, all that you teach, moms and grandmoms all along, probably I would submit to you today, the most important thing has to be to teach them about God. And so I want to jump into some scripture this morning, because that's the safest place for me to tread this morning. Because if you don't like what's being said, hey, you know, I didn't write it. So we're going to work our way through Deuteronomy. Would you get your Bibles open and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6? As we look through this chapter, I'm going to do my best to get through here. I know you got barbecues and all these other sorts of lunch plans ready, but listen, let's just pause and hear from God this morning about what He has to say about moms and teaching, and specifically I'm going to focus this on you moms. But in Deuteronomy 6, we see this is just after Moses gets the Ten Commandments. In chapter 5, we see those there. And God is using Moses as the mouthpiece, as a way to lay out what God expects, the behaviors, all those sorts of things, right? His commands to his people. And this is one of the interesting chapters that he lays out, which I believe still has a lot of meaning for us this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, this is the commandment, it reads, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, and you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Let me just pump the brakes right there, because there's a lot to be said in this first portion, opening of this chapter. We see a lot of things, a lot of lessons of what we should be teaching our children, what God has commanded us or has put us or put on us to teach, in that sense, moms. And that is first found in the first verse, that the Lord your God, meaning there is one God. We are to teach our children the Lord is your God. There is only one true God, and this is what he commands. This is why we do what we do. You know that as they grow, as they head out into school, into college, and on from there, they will be bombarded with other options. They'll be challenged. They will be tested. And so what you are doing from day one, even in little Bible stories or songs or all these things, and even, may I say, in your own behaviors, you are teaching them there is only one Lord your God. And that Lord and that God has commanded some things. And I read and continue then into verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God. Now, you probably want, in some ways, your child to fear you. Like when they're starting to think about doing something wrong, they're thinking, oh, mama's going to come after me with a stick or a shoe or maybe their own hand. I don't know. However you chose to discipline. But that fear is a sort of a healthy and respectful fear, perhaps. And this is what we are to teach our children. That's not a common principle taught these days, even preached on. Because God is, you know, he's all love. And he's just this big fluffy teddy bear now. We have lost the fear of the Lord. And it's evident that we've lost the fear of the Lord, because we as a people, as a nation, are so easily diving into sin. So to teach our children that there is a healthy fear and respect of God, and that it is worthy and that it is right, is something to teach. By how? By keeping all of his statutes, it says. His commandments. Not just what mommy says, not just what daddy says, but most importantly what God says about your life. Because guess what? One of these days they are going to leave you. One of these days they're going to be in their own college dorms, their own apartments, their own cities and states far away. Who knows? You will not be in their back pocket all the time. But God will be. And if we teach our children to have a healthy and a healthy respect and fear of God in this sense, then that goes well beyond what mommy and daddy could impose. And so he says, keep all of these statutes, these commands which I command you. How long? All the days. All the days of your life, when I'm there and when I'm not. All the days of your life. Why? So that your days may be long. It's interesting, kind of the same or similar phrase is used in Deuteronomy chapter 5. In verse 16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land of the Lord God has given you. In other words, if you don't mind your parents, if you don't honor your mother and father, they can take your life. And back in that days, they could. If you were disobedient, they dropped you off at the temple doors. And you were done. So in here it is. There is this blessing. If you put these things into your child's life, what you're doing is you're setting them up for success. You're setting them up for this idea that they can have a long life, that they would have a healthy understanding of who God is, and that would benefit them as the years go on. Rather than saying nothing to them or letting Facebook tell them who they are, you're setting him up for destruction. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them. It's not just what mommy says. It's how you do. Hear them that it may go well with you. Sometimes, especially as children, all they see are the rules about what they can do and what they cannot do. And they don't see maybe sometimes the benefits of those rules. Boy, isn't it up to us to show them and to teach them. There is a reason why we do this. There is a benefit to following God and following His commandments. And the wonderful thing is, by the end of that verse, it go well with you that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you. There's a promise attached to all this. A promise that God has given that if you do these things, and as parents, as moms this morning, as you teach these things, God attaches His promises to them. I'd rather them know how to do that than half the other things they're probably going to learn from friends and things. I want my child to know what God has promised us. And how faithful He is to complete that promise, yes? It goes on, verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There it is again. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Hear this, church. Hear this, moms. This now gets into the how portion. We see verses 1 through 3, what it is we are to be teaching our children. I believe I would propose to you this morning the most important things in life are found in those first 3 verses. From that springs all other parts and issues and areas of life. But here in the next chunk is the how you do that. And it tells us, we shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your might. Mom, you're teaching that, but you also must be living that. How could you expect your child, grandbaby, whatever, to follow this when they see you not doing it? What a contradiction that would be, yes? I'd said this many times. You know, there's been a great departing from the church from generations, and I believe part of that is due to the fact that the ones who raised them kind of made some mistakes. and the generations before us perhaps saw the difference, the church mom and dad and the home mom and dad, or the work mom and dad. And they said, now the generation cries for real. We want to see what realness is, what real truth is, what real religion, what a real relationship with Jesus Christ is. And they look within their own homes and they don't see it because mom and dad are praising the holy, holy, holy at church. But when they're home, there's something different. No, this is telling us we love the Lord. We, moms, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, first and foremost. These are the words he says in verse 5. Today they'll be on your heart. What does he say in 7? You shall teach them diligently. What does that mean? It means all the time. It means in every circumstance. It means whether your child is stubborn or not. It means whether you feel like it or not. He says, teach them diligently to your children. Sometimes they're not going to want to listen. Just grab them by the throat. No, don't do that. I'm just teasing. But sometimes they're not going to want to listen. But we teach them diligently to our children. And listen to this as it goes on. And you shall, what? Talk to them when you sit in your house. Holy smokes, how often is that happening? Many times, dinners are eaten in everybody's own bedrooms. Or if we are around the table, we're in front of the phones. If you're going out for lunch this afternoon with moms or whoever, just take a gander around the restaurant. See how many people are actually engaging in conversations. Talking to moms or to sons or daughters versus how many people are like this? Yeah. Right down here, thumbs tapping away. Listen, there's a reason behind this. God knew Facebook was coming. Cell phones and texting. No, he said, I want you to spend time with your children. The world's spending plenty of time with your children. Through TV and school and all the other things, daycare or whatever. No, this is the time, mom, where you get your child in front of you and you get to sit down with them and you spend time with them and you talk to them. You talk with them as you sit in your house. You turn the TV off and you just sit and talk with your child. Find out what's going on in their life. And he says, when you walk by the way, meaning as you go with your child on the way to school, on the way to soccer practice, wherever it is, or maybe, hey, I know, go for a walk with your kid, your child, hold their hand. Talk about life. When you sit, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, it says. Many times, maybe if your babies are grown, but you spent time at their bedside, hopefully praying with them or reading a Bible story with them or whatever it is that you did. But even in that moment, before their little eyes close, roll to the back of their head and they go to sleep, the last words they're hearing from you is something about the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Maybe your babies are grown and gone. Maybe they're in other states, college, who knows? You can send them a text at night, a prayer, telling them how much you love them. So when you lie down and when you rise, in other words, as they gather around the breakfast table, what are you sharing with them? How are you prepping them for the day? How are you encouraging them? How are you challenging them, right? All of these things you have. A specific and a unique influence that God has given you, mom, over their life. And he's saying, take every minute you get. Because that window, time, is closing, closing, closing. Until soon, they're not going to care about what you say. Because you're the dumbest person that walks the planet right now in this time frame of life. Hopefully one day, maybe when they're 20s or 30s, you'll get that phone call. Mom, I just want to say, you're awesome. Thank you for teaching me how to wash my socks or whatever it is they say. But he's saying, take these moments. They're golden, aren't they? Take advantage of them while you have them. Your grandbabies, again, this extends on down. Whoever's in your house is in your custody. Now, look at 6. I'm sorry, 8. You shall bind them as a sign. Where? Not on their head and hand. Don't ring them. Don't hang them with the noose. You bind them on your hand. God's saying, guess what? You're the leader of the pack in that sense when it comes to this child. You're the one who's role modeling what it's like, Mom. If you have a daughter, guess what? You're teaching your daughter how to be a good wife and how to be a good mother for her children along the way. If you have a son, you're teaching them what to look for in a wife. And so here God says, you get my words in you. You live my words first. You live them before your children. You make them so obvious as he is binding them. Obviously, in this time, in this culture, they actually did physically tie what they called phylacteries and things. They had little boxes tied to their forehead and had scriptures in them. I'm not telling you to walk around doing that. I think first and foremost, or at least now in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, he's saying, get this stuff inside of you and show it to the world. Show it to your children. Look at 9. You shall what? Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, meaning that your house should honor God. And what goes on in your house should honor God. Whether that's through internet or whatever these days. But it was that physical reminder when I came home, my child comes home from school, what they would see is God's word on the doorpost, and they would know that they were home. And that God ruled this house. That's the concept there. Make it a part of every part of your life. Scripture all around. So that would seep in and saturate the mind. Again, setting them up for success. Is your child going to make mistakes? Oh, yeah. Are they going to mess it up sometimes? Oh, yeah. But you are laying the foundation in this context of who God is. And guess what? That it's even okay to make mistakes sometimes. Verse 10. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you the great and good cities that you did not build, notice that, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, get the hint? And then when you eat and are full, then take care, verse 12, lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve. And by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. Wow. But hear this, church, and this is a valuable lesson, Mom. A valuable lesson. Listen, when God has blessed you, when God has given you all of these things as he mentions here, when it's truly and it's obvious from God's hand all of these blessings that you enjoy, don't forget him. This is, of course, something that perhaps would take place in their later years, teens and 20s, maybe when they're out on their own. I envision this time frame of life where things are going good. The job is well. Maybe they landed a career of their lifetime. And money's starting to come in, and relationships are building with the opposite sex, and all this stuff, the families may be starting to come together. Don't forsake the one who gave it to you. He says, take care, lest you forget the Lord. There's many ways we can forget the Lord. Just because you have a quick prayer over dinner doesn't cut it. And there's a danger to forgetting God. And we got to teach this danger to them. There's a danger when you're out on your own, son, or you're out on your own, daughter. There's a danger when you're tempted in all of these ways. There's a danger when you start making the big bucks. There's a danger that you will forget, that you will forsake, that you will turn from. You'll get too busy. And you will leave behind the one who gave it to you. And then 14, there's a short step between forgetting God and other gods coming in. Forgetting the fear of God, forgetting the power of God, forgetting the blessings of God. All of that gets exchanged, as Brother Paul brought this morning with our Romans text. It gets exchanged. It's just not worthwhile any longer. Pretty soon we are going after other gods. Now, listen, I'm sure it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to foreign religions and all these other things. Many things can replace God and become God in our life, including the big fat one, you, me. I become God now. I'm called a shot. I'm the one who says what's right and what's wrong. And there's a danger in that, isn't there? Verse 15, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you. That does not sound good. And I don't think we want that or want that for our children. This is a warning. Mom, maybe you've got a child that's kind of out there straying off and knows better, grew up in the church or what have you, grew up with you teaching them and telling them about God, and now they're out tasting all the fruits of the world and such, and you can just see it. Warn them. Remind them. Then verse 16, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test, as you tested him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes that he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, and that you may go in to take possession of the good land that the Lord swore to give your fathers by thrusting out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has promised. You see at least one of the benefits right there. Don't test him. Don't step out and see if he's really going to zap you. Do what is right, he says in 18. Do what is right and good in the sight of who? Not mom. Don't do it for my sake or dad's sake. You do it for the Lord's sake. I'm not with you wherever you are. But God is. And especially if you've raised that child, if you've dedicated that child, and you've brought them up in the ways of God, God is with them. And we must remind them of that. You think about how many things you got away with. Mom and Dad never knew. Mm-hmm. I remember one evening years ago, my brother was in town. It was the time when he was living out of town, and we all had dinner up at my parents', and I don't know how we got on the subject of it, but we started divulging information. It was past the statute of limitations, so they couldn't do nothing to us. We felt safer. But to see the looks on their faces like, you what? Or, sometimes it was, I knew. Yeah. I want the Lord, I want that sense of God being in their back pocket more than me. I want them to have a healthy respect, a healthy fear of God, and an obedience, a diligence to obey His Word. Not because of this fear that they're going to get a punishment, but more out of a love for them and for God. And then you see the promise, God takes care of business in verse 19. The response and the benefit and the promise of God is that when you follow these things, and this is what we teach them, moms, is that when you follow, God's there and God makes things happen and He opens doors. And when things seem like it's never going to happen, God is the one who comes through when our lives honor Him. That's a message we got to get to our kids. And finally, in closing in verses 20 and through the end of the chapter, when your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and statutes and the rules that the Lord your God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. We saw it. And He brought us out from there that He might bring us in and give us the land that He swore to give to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as He has commanded us. This is the why. This is why you're teaching your son, your daughter to do these things. When they ask, this is why. What does he say? Because, guess, there was a time, my son, my daughter, there was a time where we were slaves under Pharaoh. We were slaves. We were in Egypt, and times were hard and tough, and you've got stories to tell your kids, perhaps, of your childhood, and maybe things weren't all so hunky-dory for you. But you can connect it up to God and you can tell them about how God then rescued you. How God brought you through whatever the circumstances were. How you too were a slave in that sense to something. But God brought you out. Verse 23, He brought us out from there. And He commanded us to do all these things. Why? For our good always. It is protective by these things. Listen, mom, you're telling your son and your daughter to stay away from these parties or these people or this sort of lifestyle, not to be mean, not to conform them to you. I hope you are deflecting that up to God, like I'm doing with this message. It's not on me. This is God's word. Take it or leave it. But we as parents and moms, specifically today, you deflect that to God. This is why I'm asking you not to do this. This is why I think you're wrong in doing this. This is why it's It's dangerous for you to participate in this. This is why, because this is what God has said. Believe me, he carries a lot more weight. And so it's for their good. Always that he might preserve them alive. Now, verse 25 is interesting, isn't it? And it will be righteousness for us. Huh. I thought we were unable to be righteous in ourselves. I thought that by even if I held to every T, crossed T and dotted I in this law, and there's plenty more around these chapters, that if I held to every part of that, I would be righteous. But I can't, the scripture says, right? Scripture tells me it's impossible for me to hold to this law because I'm a sinner. And your kids are sinners. And you're a sinner. So how could this be a sense of righteousness for us if we are careful to do all the commandments? Listen to what God is teaching them. It is impossible on your own. In that verse, you are teaching, he is teaching us, and you will teach your children, you need Jesus. It is impossible for you to keep every letter of this law. And the fact that if they felt, if they could keep every part of that law, Jesus would not have to have come. Because they would have been perfect and sinless. But they couldn't. And so this righteousness that they are looking for is forward to the cross. The righteousness that we receive comes from the cross forward to us. This is most important to teach to our children. You cannot be good enough, my son, my daughter. You cannot be strong enough, pretty enough, whatever enough. You need Jesus. You need to be declared righteous through him. For there is no other way. And so, moms, there you have it. You got a lot of work to do. I don't know why you're sitting around here. But listen, no matter how old or young, or maybe you got grandbabies, believe me, Jackson's going to get his ear full of stuff. But listen, no matter how old or young they are, it doesn't matter. Even if you have led a life as a mom of questionable behavior, decisions, what have you. Guess what? Today, right now, in this moment, everything can change. Did you know that? Today, right now, in this moment. Boy, what a testimony. Especially if your children are grown and gone. What a testimony they receive a phone call from their mom saying, guess what? Today I gave my life to Jesus. And from that moment on, they don't even know who you are. It could happen today. Or maybe you've lost contact. I don't know, whatever the situation is with your children. At least, at the bare minimum, pray for them. Pray for them every day, more times in a day. As they cross your mind, pray for them. If you can communicate with them, tell them about what God is doing and the importance of keeping him first and foremost. Listen, through the generations of commercials, you know, we've seen all of these all this propaganda coming across our TVs about talking to our kids about sex and talking to them about drugs and talking to them about having these conversations. I remember one commercial, I don't know if you guys remember, where this dad is just laying out this awesome speech and the camera pans around and it's to a teddy bear sitting in the chair. Because for some reason he's too afraid to talk to his child about those things. I thought, what a waste. We need to have these conversations. We need to talk to them. We need to live it. And let them see the proof in our own lives. Amen. Well, Father, we are giving you praise for this morning and for your word today, Lord, and for the challenge, God, the challenge to check our own selves, to make sure we've got our mind right and our heart right with you. But then also, Lord, these kids that you have given us, they're on loan from you, Lord. You have blessed us with them. You've given us the miracle of birth. And you've given us the responsibility to teach, and I don't believe that responsibility ends until we draw our last breath. Help us in this, Lord. Help us to forgive. Help us to make time to talk about these issues and ask questions and plant these thoughts and these ideas and these seeds. And Father, help us most importantly to live them. I give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name.